Lecture topic, remembering Allah Ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Fadhkuruni adhkurukum washkuruli wa la takfurun. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders. Every person wakes up in the morning. So he has an idea of what is his day that he, what he wants to achieve out of this day. He is working somewhere. So now he knows these are the tasks I need to go and fulfill. Or this is the job that I need to go and do. Person has a business. So he has all his various details that he wants to fulfill. What he wants to sort out. What he has to buy and what he has to sell. And what he has to organize, whole list of things are all running through his mind, because all this is part of the day's work that he needs to accomplish. When the person is a professional in some way, he knows what his job is. He knows what he has to try and complete for the day. So in all these things, every person, let alone every person who has some job and some business and some profession, even the person who is standing at a street corner, and he's waiting for some handouts, he too has something in mind. I need to make sure I collect so much today. He's got something. He's got some target of the day. He's got some purpose. Though for the rest of people that will be regarded as no purpose, but in his own mind he's got some direction. So when all these things, all these people, everyone, all of us wake up in the morning, so we are expected to have some direction, expected to know what we are going to achieve for the day. If a person every day in his life is waking up, he doesn't know what's he about, say there's a serious problem here. So now imagine this is the case with day-to-day life in terms of business, in terms of job, profession, whatever. What about a person who's living in dunya, doesn't know why? Person who's living his life, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years gone by, 60, 70. But he doesn't know what was the real objective that he was expected to work towards. What was his direction? Life has passed. Person is still trying to figure out what was his purpose of life. So that will obviously be a major disaster, because this is a part. Then the real life starts. It has now come to its end. The everlasting life. Now when the everlasting life has come, now the person wants to know, but what I was supposed to have prepared for this life? See, what you were supposed to have prepared, the time for that has already passed. Hatta idha jaa ajaluhum la yastakhirun. When their moment comes, the appointed time comes, it won't be delayed in any way. Not one moment. Finish, that time has come. They say, the time that you had, that opportunity has passed. You were supposed to have done that before you came now. Now is already the qabr. The preparation for the qabr was while you were in dunya. If you had used the time correctly, then this qabr would have been a garden of Jannah for you. Then the bedding of Jannah would already have been brought for you. The window of Jannah would have already been opened out for you. The beautiful breeze of Jannah would already have been comforting you. And the angels would have been there at your side. But the preparation for that, the time for it was in dunya, while you still had life. The day of Qiyamah, the person now, his book of deeds, the book of deeds are being handed out. So he's wishing, but I wish I had added these things in my book of deeds, meaning by doing those actions. I had added all my salah in order. I had added tilawat of the Quran Sharif. I had added zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I had added compassion and kindness to people. I had added all the good and noble things. And I wish I had deleted many, many things. Never did it. It never would have been there. And some things had happened. So then I wish I had already made sincere tawbah that would have got deleted. That was all the chance was in dunya. While you had the time, if you did it, it would have been there. All those good actions would have been noted and recorded. And the reward would now have come for you. But that opportunity was while you had life in dunya. Now it's too late. And you wanted to delete these things, you had made tawbah already when you had life. You shouldn't have procrastinated and said, I'm waiting for Ramadan to come, I'm going to sort my life out. Whereas Ramadan was still far away. Ramadan was long after you were due to leave dunya. You were waiting for Ramadan. So now, that opportunity you had is too late now, it's gone. Allah Ta'ala's fazal, karam, ihsan, we're sitting here today, we're talking about it, that this would be the case if a person didn't prepare. Allah gave us a tawfiq to surround tonight, to talk about this, to discuss this, so that we don't fall in that situation, someday Allah forbid. That we take this opportunity now, that Allah Ta'ala made this possible for us to spare these few moments to discuss about our moment of akhirat. And that we don't want to be found in that moment and that time and that manner and situation that we wishing we had done differently in dunya. But now the time has gone. So that time is now. That time is now. When the major signs of Qiyamah will come, already the doors of Tawbah will close. And people will already start becoming very, very remorseful over things which they wish they had not done. But now that time has gone to make any amends for it too. It comes in one Hadith Sharif that the earth will spew out all its treasures like huge pillars of gold, of other valuables, pillars. Like we see stones lying around, all these things will be lying around. Now people will walk past. Now when somebody is walking past stone, even if it's a little bit, some white color stone, green color, some colorful stone too, besides some child maybe might find it a little bit exciting or something, any adult, any sane person, say stone after all. A little bit shiny maybe. I'll say stone. Nobody stops there to pick it up. Stone is stone. So now we pass by so many stones, nobody stops to pick it up because it's stone. A day will come and all these valuable things will also be like stone, just lying around. And the person will pass by somebody whose hand was cut for theft. He had committed theft and his hand was cut. Now he'll be walking past this, he'll say, وَفِي هَذَا قُطِعْتُ This, like a person now took some stone from somewhere and his hand got cut for it. See, for stone, I gave my hand away for stone. Worthless stone. He'll be looking at these pillars of all these things lying around. For this, I gave my hand away. I disgraced myself. I committed this theft. And then somebody else will pass and say, وَفِي هَذَا قَطَعْتُ رَحِيمِ For this, I broke family ties. I severed relationships. Because of this, for dunya, for this worthless stone, that moment, that reality will come through. But by that time, that door of making amends for that is too late, gone. So, this is that little time Allah has given us, this opportunity in dunya, but a very, very valuable opportunity. Extremely valuable. Imagine a person is given an opportunity, work for one day, and get paid $1 million. He says, no, I got a bride to attend to. He says, no, I got some friends waiting for me. I need to go and there's something to watch, some entertainment. So anybody who knows what he has been offered, what opportunity he has been given, and what his response is, what they are going to, what conclusion they are going to come to, we don't need to even get into the speculation of that. Everybody knows what conclusion they'll come. See, what's wrong with this person? Where's his mind? Work for one day, $1 million. But that $1 million also, supposing if that was a reality, it could become a reality. Somebody's given the opportunity, work for one day, $1 million. He worked for the day, he got his $1 million, and in the night, before he could even count the thing properly, he passed away. If he lived and he used it correctly, he earned his akhirat with it, he helped others around, he used it as well, alhamdulillah. But very temporary that too. If he transferred it into the offshore investment of akhirat, excellent. But otherwise, what got left in dunya, got left in dunya. But that is if he used it correctly, he used it to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, well and good. But that's the reality of dunya. Even if he got that $1 million too, he's not going to take it forever. Not going to leave with this dunya with it. That's going to get left behind. So what is going to go in the akhirat is his iman and amal. That's going to go along with him. His amal. Iman and amal. So now this short life Allah has blessed us with is an opportunity, not for $1 million, for $1 billion, for $1 trillion. So after all, how far is he going to take it? But what he takes to the akhirat, that is going to be everlasting. That is khayru wa abqa. That is better and permanent. So now that is what Allah Ta'ala wants us to work for. That as Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said to his son, make an effort for your dunya to the extent of your stay in dunya. And make an effort for your akhirat to the extent of your stay in akhirat. So now what is the stay in dunya? 50 years, 60 years, some 40, some 30, Allah knows best. And somebody 70, 80, how much more? 90. And how can that compare, and what is the proportion of that compared to infinity? Never ending life. No comparison. Trying to compare one day to 100 years, what comparison? One day to 100 years. That one day to 100 years still has a fraction. Can still be put into a number. This is the fraction. One day compared to 100 years is this. But the whole life of 100 years compared to infinity is 0,00, carry on. No comparison. For the short life, the effort made in this short life to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, the few sacrifices, really very, very minimal sacrifices, mainly the sacrifice of our nafs. That's the main sacrifice that really is required of us. Sacrifice of those temptations, of those desires. Those desires that take us away from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And there are things in the Quran Sharif which Allah Ta'ala cautions us about. That beware, don't let this become a barrier. For example, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. O you who believe, don't let your wealth and your progeny, your children, your offspring make you unmindful of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Don't ever allow that to come in the way between you and Allah Ta'ala. If that is a support to take you closer to Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah. That is becoming a distraction, or it's taking you in a different direction, then beware where you're heading. So the prescription to get closer to Allah Ta'ala is deen, taqwa, acquiring that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore in the Quran Sharif, repeatedly, Allah Ta'ala has highlighted the importance of his remembrance. One is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the remembrance, mashallah, all of us do make some zikr, and this is something to be done daily. Some tasbih, some zikr, some tilawat, but that is one level that we do it at. What level? That is on the tongue. Alhamdulillah, that is Allah Ta'ala's very great bounty, but on the tongue. But that is not where it must stop. It's there, that's a very great ni'mat. Must be very grateful for it. But it's not that's the destination. That's only the start of the journey. What is required is that zikr which has been on the tongue, and now that too again, provided it's already on the tongue too. Otherwise, if one counts the words that he speaks for the day, and the conversations he has, and then nowadays the conversations is, when he is quiet also too, he's talking. When he's quiet also, his fingers are talking. And then sometimes we sleep talking. But the conversations are non-stop. Now you count the number of words throughout the day. Person just types one page, say 100 and so many words. Now imagine the amount we speak, if all that was being now recorded somewhere, and you count the words, Allah knows best how many thousands of words. Tens of thousands of words. Every day. How much of it constructive? Even constructive for dunya. Tell it was something related to some work, some permissible activity, something that was permissible talk. Then how many of those works futile? And then worse still, how many of those words that were earning the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala? How many of those words were actually filthy, dirty, because it was vulgar, it was obscene, all that's recorded. We haven't recorded it, but Allah's angels are recording. Kiraman katibin, ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. They are recording everything. And on the day of Qiyamah, all that will be opened out to a person, and he'll be shocked. Mali hadha al-kitab, la yughadiru saghiratan wala kabiratan illa ahsaha. What is the matter with this book? Hasn't left the minutest detail. Everything is recorded here. That word which I thought I saw somebody and just disappeared, that's here also. That which I humiliated somebody with, that is also here. And I didn't make tawbah, I didn't ask that person's forgiveness, I didn't delete it. It's also here, I'm going to be taken to task for it. Allah knows best how many of my salah will be dished out to the person. How many of my good deeds, how much of my charity, how much of my hajj and umrah might be just dished out. So now, these things that we sometimes just go on. So the thing is, all these words, so many words, thousands, tens of thousands of words, how many words were recorded there that this was the number of times this person remembered Allah Ta'ala? He took Allah Ta'ala's name, spoke about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, spoke about Deen. You will find a very, very little part of it, and Allah forbid sometimes hardly anything. And that which was there also, so now that was just on the tongue. So nevertheless, that's one level. What is on the tongue also is Allah's ni'mat. Because that tongue too was saved from blurting out some vulgarity, from blurting out some obscenity, from talking nonsensical things, from making ghibat. That tongue was taking Allah's name, subhanallah. That too is beyond our imagination. But that's not where it stops. It starts. What is required is to develop that zikr to the point where it becomes remembrance in reality. Remembrance. One person, he couldn't sleep the whole night. Whole night he couldn't sleep, tossing and turning. How come? What was his problem? He said, well, yesterday I got one email or whatever, something came, that I got an appointment with SARS. I got an appointment with SARS, there's an audit coming up. So now that SARS audit, subhanallah, his sleep went away. Now what? Why the sleep went away? What's the relationship between SARS audit? SARS will do its audit. Why does sleep go away? Because that audit now started playing in his mind in such a way that he's remembering it 24/7 now. That this audit happens, then what? And if is everything in order? And if everything is not in order, then what? He is consumed by the thought of that audit. Being consumed by the thought of that audit has changed him. It changed his demeanor. He was a different person before that. And now suddenly he has changed. He's gone quiet a bit. He was always shouting aloud. He changed his whole pattern of life. Even his sleep went away. What happened? He got consumed by the thought of something. Now that is the zikr, that is, what is the objective? That the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala consumes a person. And when that becomes his condition, now it is not possible for him to fall into sin. Because his remembrance will become a barrier. And Allah forbid, if there's some neglect somewhere, and he slips up, this will force him to immediately make sincere tawbah. He will not be able to remain on that sin. So this is the purpose and the requirement, that to bring alive the zikr to the point where it becomes true remembrance, meaning that it's not forgetfulness anymore. He's forever conscious of Allah Ta'ala. And when he's conscious of Allah Ta'ala, then that will guide him to do what Allah is pleased with, regardless of what goes on, whether somebody will laugh at him, somebody will mock him, somebody will call him some names. Allah must be pleased. No matter whether it seems like some major financial loss, Allah must be pleased. Whether it seems like maybe his position, his dignity in the public and his social standing, all that might go away. Doesn't matter, Allah must be pleased. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then everything is achieved. And if I got all these things, the social standing, the financial benefit, and whatever else, but if Allah Ta'ala is now, if that remembrance of Allah Ta'ala has come to that point, that's the thinking that will come in place. Then he'll be consumed in Allah's zikr and Allah's shukr. The ayat of the Quran Sharif that we cited at the beginning, where Allah Ta'ala gives us this order, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. You remember me, I will remember you. You remember me, فَذْكُرُونِي بِالْإِطَاعَةِ. You remember me by being obedient to me. أَذْكُرُكُمْ بِالْعِنَايَةِ. I will remember you by showering my favors upon you. Those favors will shower in dunya, it'll shower in the qabr, it'll shower in akhirat, and it'll keep showering in jannat perpetually. And washkuruli wala takfurun. Be grateful, don't ever be ungrateful. Now this zikr, to bring the zikr alive, the purpose of our life, in another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has highlighted, la'al وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We've created insan, لِيَعْبُدُونَ, so that they may worship us, worship me, worship Allah Ta'ala. So this ibadat, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, it refers to ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. That when that ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala has been achieved, then the person's 24 hours of his life, daily life, becomes ibadat. Everything of his life becomes ibadat, provided he has acquired the ma'rifat. Now all these askar, tasbihat, it's all for bringing alive this ma'rifat. Everything added together, it finally brings this reality alive. But unfortunately, it is taken as a secondary aspect, taken for granted. The tasbihat, after the fard salah, we have been taught to recite Tasbih Fatimi at least 10 times each. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. The third kalima, these are the parts of the third kalima. Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa La Ilaha Illallah, Wallahu Akbar. In one hadith sharif, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ahabbul kalami ilallah. The most beloved of all kalam to Allah Ta'ala is this, these kalimat. Now imagine if this is most beloved to Allah Ta'ala, and a person is reciting it daily, consciously, deeply, because it has the expression of everything that's required in a person to recognize Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah, what is he expressing in Subhanallah? Now daily, either it's not even recited, after Fajr also, after Asr, because we got so many things waiting for us. We are in such a hurry every day. We are in such a hurry that we don't have time after any salah. We don't have time before going to bed to recite the Tasbih Fatimi. But what is contained in this? So Subhanallah. Subhanallah is the expression of the purity of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala being free of every and any deficiency of any sort. Allah Ta'ala is completely free of any deficiency. Now Ilah, a deity, If there was some deficiency, that with a deficiency, what kind of deity would that be? What kind of being would that be who has to be worshipped but has some fault, some deficiency? Allah is totally free of any deficiency. But there's one part of it. Subhanallah. And then Alhamdulillah. Allah is not only free of every deficiency, he is also who has every perfection in him. And therefore all praise is due to him. Because every perfection is with Allah Ta'ala. Absolute perfection. So Allah Ta'ala is free of any deficiency, expressing the Subhanallah, Subhanallah, and then Alhamdulillah. All perfection lies with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And He alone is worthy of all praise. And then not alone these two things, over and above that, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. So now when this is the case, Allah is free of every deficiency. Allah Ta'ala has every perfection. And Allah is the greatest. So therefore, la ilaha illallah, there's none worthy of worship but Allah Ta'ala. Now subhanallah, just in this expression of these kalimat, and therefore in Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that for me to just say these four kalimat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Just to have the opportunity to say these four kalimat, just this much, is more beloved to me, mimma tala'at alayhi shams. مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. Maybe we say, I had this 20-story property, then my work is done. This is really what I'm really waiting for to happen. That particular car, or that something or the other with material things. But after all, what is that? Compared to the rest of it, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, better than this entire world. Whatever the sun rises on, everything of the world, every bit of material wealth, anything and everything, on the one side, and the opportunity to recite these four kalimat on the other side, this is more beloved to me. Now what's the value of this? Now this little time to, now but the very crucial factor in it, one is, as mentioned, ours is on the tongue. It has to be now brought from the tongue into the heart. And be said with the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala and the azmat of Allah Ta'ala. When these kalimat are, and this is one example, all the azkar, the tasbihat, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, to the extent it will be brought alive in this manner, that it is not just confined to the tongue, that too is a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, but now it becomes deep down in the heart, and it is being expressed with this muhabbat and azmat repeatedly. This love of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala at heart. And now repeatedly these kalimat are being recited. To what extent this will fill the heart with this ma'rifat. And this recognition of Allah Ta'ala. And this consciousness. And now this consciousness becomes a barrier between a person and sin. And this consciousness drives a person to every goodness. This is the consciousness that gives him reality. Otherwise, it's all sometimes we are in a deception. But this consciousness opens reality out. So this is the ayat Allah Ta'ala is giving us the command, Faskuruni, remember me. That remembrance, even the verbal remembrance. But that verbal remembrance must become, it must now graduate. It must get deeper. But how will it get deeper? By putting the effort to make it deeper. Taking a little bit more time. Little bit more effort to now say it more consciously, say it more deeply, recite this kalimat, to start off with, to be reciting it. The daily our tasbihat, that kalima, istighfar, durood sharif on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tilawat of the Quran sharif. These are not secondary things. These are primary things. This is nourishment for the heart. And this truly brings the heart alive. Then the realities open out. Person can see what is of priority, what is of importance, what has to be done. My time is ticking. I don't know, tomorrow I'll see or not. What I have to sort out before tomorrow. So this is the first aspect in this ayat, Fazkuruni. Remember me. Allah says, I will remember you. Washkuruli, and be grateful to me. One part of gratitude, whatever Allah has blessed us with, to express our gratitude to that, in terms of the ni'mats and bounties of Allah Ta'ala. The greatest bounties are of that of deen, to make shukr for that. Those who understood this, this is the incident of Abu Qilaba Jarwi rahimahullah, discussed on some previous occasions, the person who's narrating, he says, lengthy incident. He came, he found this person lying in a tent, right in the outskirts somewhere. And he sees this person lying there, no hands, no legs. His body is riddled with disease and he's blind. But his tongue is saying something and he's engaged in the zikr and shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you give me the tawfiq to express your shukr as you deserve to be praised. He's shocked at what he's hearing. That subhanallah, this person in this condition and he is still praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he asks him that, what you are making shukr on? So he says, can't you see my tongue is moving and I am able to recite the glory of Allah ta'ala and praise Allah ta'ala, make his zikr. If I didn't have this tongue, what I would have done? Then he says to him, this person lying there, who later on he got to realize was Abu Qilaba rahimahullah, with student of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anh, says, the person says to him, look, I need a favor. Says, if I don't do you a favor, who am I going to do a favor? Says, my son used to help me. He used to feed me, make wudu, help me perform salah. He's now one day gone. I don't know what happened. He went to sort something out. He hasn't returned. Can you please check for me? He goes looking around behind the sand dune somewhere. He sees bones and he realizes that this can only be this person's son. Can only be his son. And it appears some wild animal pounced on him and devoured him. Now he's wondering how to come and break the news to him. So long story short, eventually he comes and he tells him that this is what has transpired. Your son has become the beloved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's no more. So what was the first thing that came out of this person's mouth on his tongue? Now his son has passed away. So the first thing came out was shukr. I express shukr to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala saved him from living a life of any sin. That now he's gone. So there's no chance of any sin now. But this life Allah gave him, I express shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Allah protected him from falling into any sin. Subhanallah. The day that passed, Allah's tawfiq, that we maybe stayed away from many things, Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, did we ever make shukr on that? Or regard it as our achievement? Allah's tawfiq. So to make shukr on that, there's one incident about Sultan Mahmud, who was a king in India once upon a time. So again, a lengthy incident, but the main part of it, one day one person came to him, poor person, said, look, I have a serious problem. What's a serious problem? He says, every now and again, at intervals, somebody who's high up in, I have no idea who the person is, but he's somewhere high up in the army or whatever, police. He comes late at night and forcefully gets me out of my house at the point of a sword, and then he defiles my family, and I have no way to do anything because this person has all the authority, the power and might. And I've come to now seek your help. That this is your subject. You need to sort it out. So he was shocked at hearing this. He said to him, any time in future this happens, you come immediately to me. Day or night. And then he called the people around, whoever they were responsible. He said, look, this person, look at him carefully. He comes any time, day or night. You make sure you bring him immediately to me. And he didn't even say to anybody that you sort his problem. You bring him to me. Day or night, no matter what I'm involved in, how important work I may be engaged in, you bring him immediately. In any case, some time passed, and one day late at night, this person comes again. He said, I need to see Sultan Mahmud now. So in any case, people were aware, so they brought him. He was already gone to bed. So immediately he was taken. He said, look, that person is already in my house. So he quickly woke up, made wudu, performed 2 rakat salah. He then took on all his arms and his sword, whatever else, mounted the horse and said, let's go. And he came himself to the house of this person in the dead of night. Then he entered the house and then he went and separated the person. After separating him in the darkness, he beheaded him. And after beheading him, he said, now please quickly bring a lamp. Because now, that quickly bring a lamp, light a lamp or whatever, some light. So in any case, they lit the lamp. When they lit the lamp, now the first thing he did was he put that light onto the face of that head now that he had beheaded. And he looked at that face carefully, and then he fell into sajda and performed a lengthy sajda. And after that lengthy sajda, he then finally finished off. And they said, please, anything to eat. So this person said, but he's talking to the king now. He says, in my house, what you going to get to eat? You're asking for something to eat. You're going to get some dry bread. You're going to get some water. He said, please bring it. So he ate that dry bread and water. Then he said to the person, in any case, Allah Ta'ala has sorted your problem out now. So he now started waking up to leave. He said, look, with all respect, please, before you leave, I'm a bit lost about two things. I want to understand. If you could please explain to me two things. Number one, the sajda you made. And number two, in my house, the dry bread and water, the king, what made you have this in my house? He said, well, since you asked, so let me tell you now. The sajda I made from the time you came, that was 3 days ago, when you told me this is what's going on, so I became very concerned that somebody can be so daring under the way that we have tried to keep everything, law and order, keep people safe, and somebody has this audacity and he can be so daring that to go in the dead of night in somebody's house in this manner and do this, in my mind was it can only be somebody very high up in the government circles and ranks who has got a lot of courage to go and do something like this. And in my mind, the fear was, it can either be my son or my nephew who are in high position. That perhaps it's one of them. So when I came with the sword to behead whoever it is, in my mind was, I'm either tonight going to be beheading my own son or my nephew. That was what is in my mind, was in my mind. It's going to be one of these two people's heads going to go today. But eventually when that light was lit and I looked into that in the light and saw it was somebody else, so obviously that was a bad thing, whatever somebody did, but I fell into the sajda to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that he saved my progeny from such a vile deed. This lengthy sajda was a sajda of shukr. Allah forbid, how many times we putting our children on vile deeds, leading them on the path of sin. Here this person was ready to behead who it was. And in his mind is, it's either my son or nephew. But then when he found and he realized, no, alhamdulillah, it wasn't either of them. His shukr was that Allah saved them from sin. Now where, how are we going to stand on the day of Qiyamah, where we put our children on the path of sin? He said, well, what about that dry bread? He said, from the time you came and you expressed this, I was so shocked about this, I took a vow that till I don't apprehend the person and sort this matter out, I'm not going to eat and drink anything. So 3 days and nights have passed, I haven't had a morsel of food. So I was now really, the hunger and the thirst was at a peak. So therefore I thought, well, whatever little also I can have here, I'll have here later on, we'll see whatever we eat later on. But I was desperately hungry, so therefore whatever you presented, I ate that. But now the lesson in this also, that to what extent, now this is when that zikr of Allah Ta'ala reached that level of consciousness, that I cannot fall asleep if this zulm carrying on in my subjects and I am responsible for something. It is under my watch that some oppression of this nature is taking place. How can I be sleeping then? This consciousness comes from where? What brings alive such consciousness? That let alone a person committing any zulm himself, somebody else is committing the zulm, he is falling, his sleep has gone, he is restless, he can't fall asleep. This is that zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that consciousness, Allah is aware, Allah is watching, Allah is going to ask me. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his time, he used to say that if some mule walking somewhere, if it topples because of something in the road, like now in our case, we'll call it a pothole. One pothole on the road, that mule was galloping somewhere, and then it stumbled because it fell into that, one leg went into the pothole. I'm afraid Allah is going to take me to task, that it was under your watch. Under your watch, that road was very, very dangerous. Somebody's mule stumbled on it. That consciousness, that's the question, that consciousness. Where does that consciousness come from? That the person can think in that manner, one mule, one animal somewhere far away is going to fall on a road, so it fell, what's in there? Allah forbid, things are falling sometimes, people are falling around in our own homes, sometimes our parents, sometimes our near and dear ones, somebody's grandparents. But it doesn't sometimes make any difference to us, because we are too preoccupied with our own things. How many very sad stories come, somebody passed away, and some child was now informed, say, well, okay, send me the bill for whatever the costs are for the entire burial. I'm a bit now busy now, I'm far away, I can't make it now. Just send me the bill. I'll EFT it. I'll send the check in, that someone else check. So what dead hearts? What's going to bring alive that heart? This consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, this remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Those incidents we read of the Sahaba Ikram in the battlefield, and that person is now about passing away. And in those last moments of life, the thirst reaches an extremely high level. And the person is now in that desperate thirst. And now when somebody comes to offer him the water, he hears the person next to him asking for water. And he says, no, give it to him. And then that person also, before he can take a sip, the third person is asking for water. He says, no, give it to him. And then eventually the fourth person passed away before he could reach him. Comes to the third person, he passed away. The second person passed away. The first person passed away before he reached him. They gave their lives for others and they didn't take that benefit. What brings a person to that level? That is the zikr. This is not just confined to the remembrance of the tongue. It starts off there. That too is a very great bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But to now make it deeper, to make it more full of meaning, and to take the name of Allah Ta'ala with that azmat, with that muhabbat, to daily give prime time. Give some prime time to Allah Ta'ala. We are often looking for some corners to fit in some amal, some tilawat, some zikr, in some leftover time. Let us dedicate 5 minutes of prime time. 5 minutes of prime time, because what we're trying to achieve is beyond everything else. What we want to get to is beyond everything else. Now the prime time, a little bit of that, one part of the prime time is that our 5 daily salah. That must never ever get affected by anything. No meeting, no deal, no customer, no nothing must come in the way of the 5 daily salah. Everything must wait. Because Allah Ta'ala's command must come first. Now we want to get to this great objective of recognizing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, achieving the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. And this is the most important fard and obligation. Then how are we going to get there? So this must never shift for anybody or anything. And then together with that, all the other amal and the environments of deen, the efforts of deen, all this combined, inshallah, will bring alive the heart, will bring this consciousness in our hearts, bring the reality of the zikr, the reality of shukr, and in this way, inshallah, we'll gain the ma'rifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make a few minutes of zikr in dua, inshallah. Recite the Durood Sharif.
ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran يا ربي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو اهله لا اله الا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله الله 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 Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته. ولا هما إلا فرجته. ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهدي وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. إله العالمين يا الله. Most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. يا الله forgive us يا الله. يا الله forgive us يا الله. Allah, forgive all our major and minor sins, Ya Allah. Allah, what we did deliberately and mistakenly, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us your grateful servants, Ya Allah. Allah, make us those whose, Ya Allah, whose hearts are engrossed in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Whose lives are in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove us from this neglect, Ya Allah. From this heedlessness, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove us from all the evils and vices, Ya Allah.
Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant us a life of taqwa, Ya Allah. Grant us a life of taqwa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us tongues that are engaged in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Grant us hearts that are engrossed in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the ability to live our lives according to your pleasure, Ya Allah. What you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that displeases you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Enable us to daily recite the Quran Sharif in abundance, Ya Allah. Enable us to be forever in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the evils and vices, Ya Allah. Cleanse and purify our hearts out of all the evils, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove all the jealousy, Ya Allah. The malice, the pride, Ya Allah. The love of dunya, Ya Allah. The love of the ego, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us to do all that which is pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Enable us to fulfill the rights of all your servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from any kind of zulm, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a tawfiq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in these days, Ya Allah, when we are supposed to attach ourselves even more to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, enable us, Ya Allah, to be engrossed in your remembrance, Ya Allah, in serving deen, Ya Allah, making an effort for deen, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, making greater efforts for the akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have no idea when Malakul Maut will suddenly come to us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, give us a tawfiq of being forever in, Ya Allah, preparedness for that, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from a bad death, Ya Allah. Grant us death on perfect iman, Ya Allah. Grant us death with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, grant us death on tawbatan masuh, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Those that are any kind of difficulties, hardships, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Those who are in debts, get their debts paid with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Those who are in any anxiety, worry, depression, grief, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant itminan and sukoon to the hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill the hearts with itminan through your dhikr, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us a tawfiq, Ya Allah, of living the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the ways of Yahud and Nasara from our lives, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the tawfiq of being the true ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of upholding his deen, Ya Allah, of living for the mission, Ya Allah, he sacrificed his life for, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those, Ya Allah, throughout the world in any kind of difficulty, hardship, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. The people of Gaza, Ya Allah. You shower your special rahmat on them, Ya Allah. Your special madad on them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, your special help on them, Ya Allah. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduwika wa aduwihim. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduwika wa aduwihim. اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف إله العالمين يا الله يا الله grant them victory over their enemies يا الله grant them victory over their enemies يا الله إله العالمين we submit to your decree يا الله يا الله we are extremely weak يا الله we beg for عافية يا الله We beg for afiyat for ourselves, Ya Allah. For every Muslim on earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, with the, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept the blood of the shuhada, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, with the barakat of their, Ya Allah, sacrifice, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, spread hidayat throughout the earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant the zalimin hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bring your azab on them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen. Ya Allah, it is our sins, Ya Allah. That have become a barrier from your help descending, Ya Allah. We have placed this barrier, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. You are making tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove us from this indifference, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, from these dead hearts, Ya Allah. Bring our dead hearts alive, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant afiyat to all, Ya Allah. Afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, without asking, give us that as well, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who have raised their hands to this dua, all those who asked us to make dua for them, Ilahul Alameen, fulfill all their jais needs, pious aspirations, remove all their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove every difficulty and hardship with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima.
And I remove every taste of their ailments, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balag. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله